Welcome back to another podcast of Grateful for Love with Regina. If you have not subscribed to me already, go ahead and do so. Make sure you follow me and share on Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. Now let's get started with today's episode. God bless you, beloved. In today's lesson, we're coming from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 17. And we'll also include for the reading verse number 18, but the main focus will be on verse 17 for the episode discussion. And reading from the NIV, verse 17 says, "It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And then 18 says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." And so although our main focus in terms of our discussion and our cross references are coming from verse 17, it was important to incorporate verse 18 because as we look at the idea of suffering, and sometimes it feels as if it is so unfair and unjust, we have to look at it from God's perspective because Christ suffered. And because he did what he did, he died for our sins. He went through all he went through, not because he deserved it, but he was taking upon himself our sins in order to repair the breach that was between God and mankind. And so he suffered unjustly. And so we cannot expect to be any, to do anything less in terms of our walk with the Lord than what Christ did. He suffered. So our suffering may be on a different level, a different sort, but nevertheless, it will be suffering. Now, these verses come out from under the subheading of suffering for doing good. And so that is our really, I guess, our overall theme, you could say, for the episode today is suffering for doing good. And if you read verse number 8, it says, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing." And then it says in verse 10, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So we're seeing here as the Apostle Peter is building up a case in terms of the suffering that we're going to endure. And even though it is suffering, it is for the right reason, for the right purpose, because we see back in verse 17, it says, "If it is God's will," and we'll read in one other translation, it says, "If this is in God's plan." So God has already told us, even back in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he tells in that particular verse that we need to be aware that in this life there will be tribulation, there will be hard times, there will be things that will be going on that will try to make us weary and make us feel as if we are being hurt or harmed. In the good news, it reads it this way in John 16:33. It says, "I have told you this so that you will be, that you will have peace rather by being united to me. This world will make you suffer." This world is fallen. It is broken. And because of that, and the people in it are fallen and broken, we will suffer because they are still acting out and living through what? Their sinful natures. It says, "But be brave. I have," Jesus is saying here, "I have defeated the world." And so we are given comfort and given a guarantee that there is victory over the world because Christ defeated the world. And so as we look at this verse today in 1 Peter, I want to give a little backstory of this book. And we found out that this first letter from Peter was addressed to Christians who were called God's chosen people. And they were scattered throughout all of the northern part of Asia Minor. And the main purpose of this letter was to encourage those who read it, the readers, who were being faced with persecution and suffering for their faith, just as it is today. Not much difference in terms of being accused, being ridiculed, being mocked, and so forth at different times in different places. Some more severe rather than others, but nevertheless being persecuted for standing up for Christ, for living a life that is pleasing to God. And sometimes people will mock you for that. They will ridicule you for that. They will talk against you for that. They want you to live as they live. Maybe not so much in terms of what they're doing specifically, but they are still in the dark. So they want you in the dark so that their lifestyles, their way of living will not be revealed or be exposed. And it's not that we're trying to expose them. We have just come out of the light. And so the light is in us. And so it shines into every dark place. Even in our own lives, things that we are still being delivered from, that we're still being pulled away from and coming out of. So, but it makes people uncomfortable is the point. And so we have to be aware of that. And so sometimes, and 9 times out of 10, most times, we will face persecution, ridicule, criticism for just having the light in us, because that light is not only helping us, it is exposing darkness in other places. And so Peter, it says here that he was writing to remind the readers of the good news about Jesus. So even though they were going through things, he wanted them to know that Jesus went through things too. That's why we read verse 18, that Christ died, he suffered, he went through all that he went through for our sake, for our sins, not for his own, because he was a perfect and is the perfect man. So, but he did it for us. And it says that we should, he wanted to give us hope. Not only did Christ die for us, but he was resurrected. And now he has been raised from the dead and promises to come back for us. And that gives us hope. And in the light of this, they are to accept and endure their suffering. So in the light of knowing that not only did Christ die for your sins, he was raised and he's coming back for each of us. And so this was to give them hope and to help them in accepting and enduring their suffering, being confident that it was a test of the genuineness of their faith and that they would be rewarded on the day when Jesus Christ would be revealed. And so that's the same thing with us. You know, the sufferings that we go through really do test our faith. Now, it's not so much that God is trying to test us, but just living in the world, living for him and opposing or going in the opposite direction of what the world is doing, that will be a test for us, testing us. In terms of, is my faith really genuine? Could be one I may have to ask myself. Then another thing would be is I must be willing to be able to grow. I might need more of something in my life that's going to help me to bear up under this better and more. So maybe not so much my faith may be very well genuine, but I may need to be strengthened in some areas. And so these testings are going to show those areas that need to be shored up, if you will, for God to be able to show me how to be enhanced and to build myself up in to be able to withstand these various trials that come against me. Now, we want to look at the word suffer for a little bit more clarity as well. And it means to feel or to endure pain. And I think most of us understand that. It is experiencing something that's unpleasant. And as I mentioned before, it could be at varying degrees. There are some believers who suffer tremendously. Some have given their lives for their faith and for their standing for Christ. Others may be ridiculed or falsely accused of something. There may be those who may lose their jobs, maybe for taking a stand, maybe on their job for something that they believed that God would want them to do, but they lost their job as a result of that. And I wanted to share also that sometimes, particularly the world, but even sometimes from the church standpoint, how they view suffering. When they see someone going through something, they just automatically assume that they've done something wrong. But we know, even in the case of Job, that that wasn't the case, that God gave the enemy permission, if you will, to attack, if you will, Job, or to take some things away from him that would be quite hurtful and very painful. But God knew who he was and what he was going to do in and through Job, in spite of whatever the enemy would try to throw at Job. And he could do anything, basically what he wanted to do with Job, except to kill him. And so he could not do that, but he tried to do everything else. But God was proving not only his sovereignty, but he was proving that in the end, that because Job's faith was genuine and Job did not waver in that, even though I'm sure he had his moments, but nevertheless, he did not waver in that, and God blessed him with even more the second time around than what he had in the beginning. Now, let's look at some cross references, beloved, at some of these other translations. And reading the same verse from the Message translation, it says it this way: "It's better to suffer for doing good if that's what God wants. If that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad." And of course, we all know, as I mentioned earlier, that sometimes we have done some things. We have done some things in our lives that have brought about a punishment, a reprimand. But this is in the case of doing something good, suffering for what God wants in particular. And so even though that is the case, God will make it work for us in the end. And it says in verse 18, that's what Christ did definitively, suffered because of others, because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all. He was put to death and then made alive to bring us to God. So the suffering for all he went through, for all he endured, was for one thing only, and that was to bring us back to God. And so there may be some instances in our own lives when we find ourselves going through some things, but it is all to reflect on who God is to us and in and through our lives, in order that others can see that God is real and that God vindicates and he is our champion when we go through things, because we're going through things for him. The Amplified reads this way: "For it is better to suffer unjustly for doing right, if that should be God's will, than to suffer justly for doing wrong." Again, we know when we do wrong that we deserve whatever reprimand or whatever punishment that might be required of us. For example, if I'm out speeding in my car, if I'm stopped, I deserve a ticket. Now, whether I get one or not is up to that officer. They might just give me a warning, but I deserve a ticket because I was speeding, breaking the law. And then verse 18 says, for Christ, the Messiah himself, died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, that he might bring us to God. In his human body, he was put to death, but he was made alive in the spirit. So again, we're seeing throughout these three translations how Christ was our example. And if he went through the suffering, we should not be surprised that we will have to, in some form, in some manner, at some time in our lives, go through suffering as well. And just remember that suffering is in our lives because we are living in a fallen and broken world. As I mentioned before, that some suffering, yes, is due to our own sinful wrong choices, but some of it is due because we just simply live in a world that is broken, and there are still many around us, sometimes in positions of authority, who are still being led by their sinful nature. Now, some cross references today, beloved, are coming from all from the book of 1 Peter. And so our first cross reference is going to be coming from 1 Peter 2:15. As we travel there, 2:15 reads, in the NIV it says, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. It is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And this is up under the subheading of submission to rulers and masters. And in 13, it talks about how we should submit to, for the Lord's sake, we're submitting to those in authority over us. And even though it says in 14, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. 15 then says, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence, or another translation says you should muzzle or gag those ignorant charges and the ill-informed criticisms of foolish people. So sometimes people just don't know, but they're still yet talking, they're still yet judging, they're still yet pointing a finger at you for whatever you're going through. And to them, it looks foolish. Why don't you just stop? Why don't you just move away or whatever they think that you should do? But what you're going through, you know that is for the sake of Christ. It wasn't because of a bad choice or whatever, anything like that. It was something that God wanted you to do, and you knew it was from God to do, and you were obeying him. Even though it appeared to be foolish, and maybe even the outcome appeared to look foolish to other people on the outside looking in, but you knew because you knew what God spoke and told you to do. Now let's also turn to 1 Peter 4 and 19. 4 and 19 says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So I believe here, beloved, we're finding out that we should not stop for doing good just because it's hard. Do not stop doing good just because it is hard and the naysayers around you, people in the world, or even sometimes carnal thinking believers around you are saying you should be doing something different. What did you do wrong? What did you do? God must be punishing you. No, that is not what these verses are saying. They're saying that this is in God's plan. It is in God's plan. It is in God's will. God is permitting this because there is a greater good that he's going to bring forth out of it for you, certainly for you, and perhaps for even those around you that need it maybe even more so than you. He's going to bring something good out of it. I think about, of course, Joseph in the Old Testament. and we'll get a chance to look at his life in a future episode, but all that he went through. And it didn't happen overnight that it was all resolved. It went on for years that he went through things. I believe about 13 years in prison for being falsely accused. But in the end, he says that what you meant for evil against me, brothers, God allowed it to be so in order that many lives could be saved, namely the life of my family. The lineage that was coming forth out of Jacob was spared, was saved. It was not destroyed at that time because of Joseph being in Egypt. So God made sure that that lineage of the nation that he was going to birth through this one family would be prolonged and preserved in order to do what he willed to do through them. Let's also turn to back to 1 Peter 2 and 20. And it says, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, this is 21, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. We have to follow Christ, even in and through the hard things. And remember, he is there with us. He is in us by his Spirit to empower us to get us on the other side of it. And we'll be much better for it because we went through it because we were obeying him and following his leadership. And then finally, 1 Peter 4, again, looking at 15 and 16 of chapter 4. And it says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. We bear his name, and so we suffer in his name. I pray, beloved, that you have been helped by these verses today, and I want to conclude by reading our final two other translations from the Good News and the Passion. And the Good News reads this way, 17 and 18. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if this should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ died once and for all, a good man on behalf of sinners, in order to lead you to God. He was put to death physically, but made alive spiritually. And then it says in the Passion, it says it this way, for it is better to suffer for doing good if it is in God's plan than doing evil. So sometimes God has it in the plan. He's allowing certain things for us to go through. And then, just as it was in Christ, it was in God's plan for Christ to go to the cross, not just to suffer for suffering's sake, but because he wanted to bring us back to himself. So verse 18 says, Christ suffered and died for sins once and for all, the innocent for the guilty, to bring you near to God by his body, being put to death and being raised to life by the Spirit. Praise God for his word today, beloved. And I pray and trust that as we ponder these verses today and think about what we've heard today from this lesson, that we as believers would not be ashamed for the suffering that we go through, but that we would praise God that we bear his name. And of keeping in mind that this suffering is not of our own doing. We're not talking about wrongdoing on our own part. If we were led by our flesh to do something, we're talking about the suffering that comes about that is in God's plan and that God has allowed to come about and come around us in order for greater good. And so that is what these verses are hopefully helping us in together. So do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear, that I bear his name. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word today, Lord God. It shows us very clearly that there is a special kind of suffering that comes about just by being a believer, by being held by you, by being close to you, by being in relationship with you. And that there will be times in our lives when those won't understand that, who won't like that. And they will try to discourage and try to throw stones at us because of our faith, our walk with you. Let us take heart and know, Father, that you are with us, that you are in us to empower us to endure, and that no good thing we withhold from us. We bless you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives, that we can see your hand in our lives, oh God. And we thank you, Father, for giving us what we need to be able to shine forth your love, your light in dark places, that the enemy cannot put the light out because we are for you and you're in us. We thank you again and we praise you for all that you've done. We ask all in Jesus' name. Until next time, beloved. Shalom. Shalom. To subscribe, share, or follow me on Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. Be back next week. God bless.